wear your Nikes, because we're going to be running. No, run. Well, some of us will walk, but. And then the week after that, we'll start a new series entitled Turning Point. Oh, yeah, oh boy. How many know we're in a turning point? You know, the number of views on our online platforms doubled last week. People have an interest in what God is doing, and they're saying, I wonder what Philippi will say about this. You know, they go online and they watch it. It's doubled. Good attendance today. People are beginning to understand, maybe I need to be in the house of God. Maybe I need to be in church. Uh-huh. Because the times, they're changing, and things are getting worse, and we need to be ready. But there is a turning point happening in our nation. It's a critical moment in our nation, and we're going to be sharing quite a bit, talking about the last days, a lot of things. I don't know. I can't wait to hear what I have to say. It'll be good. I'll amaze myself. Amen. So let's get into this talk about table talk. And as we gather on the table, at least it used to be, that was the time to discuss family matters. And good or bad, you know, we would talk and share the day, share the week, would plan things, talk about what's going on in our lives. And, especially when children begin to leave the nest and they come back, isn't it great to gather around the table and be able to talk again and catch up? Hallelujah. So we want to talk about this. This is the table of the Lord, and we're going to talk a little bit about what's going on, what the conversation is like around that table, because it's interesting. This table looks pretty peaceful, but the table of the Lord is in a war zone, as we've been saying. All around us, there's a battle going on, and yet the Lord just keeps bringing good food. He just keeps setting the table, and we're able to sit down and eat and refresh ourselves. And the best part of it all is, you need to understand, basically it's a table for two. But there's someone who likes to keep trying to butt in. There's someone, he grabs a chair from one of the other tables and pulls it up. You ever have that happen to you? Just some weirdo pulls up a seat and thinks they could just join you without even asking. And they just kind of ruin the whole dynamic of the evening, and it's kind of weird. And well, that's what the devil wants to do. He wants a seat at the table. He wants to eat your meal. He wants to disturb your peace. We are in a war zone. And sometimes we feel overwhelmed, and we feel like we're sinking, and we feel like it's just too much to handle. You know, I came across an interesting fact the other day, and as old as I am, I never realized this, but nobody has ever died in quicksand by going all the way in the quicksand. There's just something about the chemical, the sand, the way it works, that when you walk into quicksand, you'll sink, but you'll only go so far, and then the sand begins to, the very thing that pulled you down keeps you from going down. And you'll only go maybe waist high or chest high, and then you stop. He said, well, people die in quicksand. Yeah, they die in quicksand, but not from going completely under and suffocating. They die in quicksand because they die because of the struggle and the exhaustion of trying to get out, and eventually they just die. And you got to understand something. The only reason they died is because they were alone. We could stop preaching right there and go home. Amen. You see, if somebody else had been there, they would have relaxed and just said, okay, throw me a tree limb. Give me something to hang on to. Give me a hand and pull me out. If just anybody was there, what Jesus is saying is we live in a war zone. But he's saying you're never alone in the war zone. No matter what you face, he said, I'll never leave you or forsake. We know this, but do we really know this? I want you to catch this. The battle isn't won because it's lifted or taken away. The battle is won because of who is with us. Oh, come on, church, you can do better than that. When you pray, you need to understand that he doesn't always take the battle. He enters the battle. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Give him a shout and a praise in the house. Now I'm going to give you a lot of scripture. Are you okay? 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are passed away. All things have become new. All things. You see, when you got saved, you were changed. You're in a different family. You know what I believe? I believe there's such a thing as spiritual DNA. And so if you're in a different family, you're not just adopted, you've got their DNA. And Jesus is saying, greater is he. Because your DNA changes when you accept Jesus. And now you have spiritual DNA. You are in a different family. Can I get an amen? Galatians 3 explains it. It kind of brings this down a little bit. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen? For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. We are all one in Christ Jesus. You need to understand something. When you were saved, you put on, like a garment, you put on Jesus. I think the problem we have in the church world today is not so much that people aren't putting them on, it's that they aren't putting the old off. If you were to give me another jacket, I wouldn't put it over this jacket. That would be weird. That would be cumbersome. It would not fit right. So if you're going to give me a better jacket, let me take this one off. If you're really going to put on Jesus, there are some things you need to put off before you can put on. I wish more preachers would preach that. Oh, I'll wait for a stronger amen. Colossians 3:3, for you died. Did you know you're dead? Oh, I could preach there a while. For you died and your life. Wait a minute. You died, but your life. You died, but you have life. You have a new life. And this is awesome. He said, you've died and your life is hidden. We got something to put on. Is hidden with Christ in God. Ah, I like to believe sometimes that when the devil comes a knocking, the door opens and Jesus answers. Come on. And the devil says, where's Will? And Jesus says, will who? I live here now. Deal with me. Oh, come on, church. This preaching's so good. We need to bring the ushers back, and you need to pay a double tithe today. Amen. Who's with me? Ephesians 2 and 6. This is one of those key scriptures you've heard me preach 100 times. You've been with me a long time, more than that. Ephesians 2, 6, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places. You may not like that person next to you, but we're made to sit together. You need to get over yourself because we sit together. It's important that we stay together, sit together, rule and reign together in the Lord Jesus Christ around the table of the Lord. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 15:57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. Gives us. What are you fighting about? He gave you. It's more about believing you got it than trying to work it up. He gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And then John echoes in 1 John 5 and 4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith in God. How many know it's time to start believing that he's greater inside than outside? God is good. God is good. God is good. I said, God is good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation, say no temptation, has overtaken you except such as common. Everything you go through, we're all going through, or have gone through, or will go through. But God, didn't I preach that last week? Even though, come on, whatever, whichever, whenever, but God. Oh, Lord, hallelujah. Rupo sandalabat. But God is faithful. He will not allow you to be tempted above that what you are able. Do you have any idea in my 50 years of serving Christ how many times I stood on that scripture? And sometimes that's the only scripture that I felt like I could stand on. And I simply said to myself, soul, come on, you can talk to yourself. It's when you talk back you got problems. Amen. I talked to myself and I said, soul, there isn't anything going on in my life that's going to conquer me, that will destroy me, that will end me. It's a anything I go through, God promised I can get through. Don't know how, don't know when, don't know why, don't know anything except I know this, I'm getting through this. Come on, you need to put that scripture on your refrigerator. He said, not allow you to be tempted beyond but what you are able, but with the temptation will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. A way of escape. When you're in the quicksand, there's an arm. I like that scripture. The arm of the Lord is not shortened. He can reach into and pull you out. You know, when you get out, you still look a mess, but you're out. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, with his help, we can overcome all the table talk that's going on. Come on. He's just always in your ear. Always sitting around the table eating your food. Talking trash. He'll say things like, you know, it's hopeless. It's hopeless. Every time he says it's hopeless, you need to quote that scripture, the 23rd Psalm, that I'm going through the shadow. I'm not pitching a tent here. I'm not building my condo here. I'm going through this. As long as I know I'm going through this, I know there's another side, there's a way out. Oh, come on, somebody help me in this place. Psalm 77 and 19 in the New Living Translation. Your road, led through the sea. Your pathway through the mighty waters. A pathway no one knew was even there. I didn't know it was there, but all of a sudden, like Moses, it just opens up. Trash talk around the table. He'll say things like, life is better somewhere else. Or as a longtime pastor, let me put it another way, I'd be better off at some other church. Why is the grass always greener? My favorite picture is a picture of four pastures. They all got fences. There's a cow in each pasture. And as the two things come together, there's a cow in each. You got the picture? And every cow's head is through the wire into the other cow's pasture. The grass is always greener. While you're looking to get in someone else's grass, someone else is getting it into your grass. I'm not talking about marijuana now. Come on. I'm bad, I know. Why do these thoughts even come into my mind? I quit that stuff 5 years ago. I shouldn't say that. Someone will say, did you know? I mean, you know, there's always a doofus somewhere, amen. Life is better somewhere else. You know what I tell the devil? He leads me beside still waters. And green pastures. I got all the grass and all the water that I need. Somebody praise him in the house. No, life's not better elsewhere. I'm exactly where I'm supposed to be. And then the devil say things like, well, you know, it's you against the world. And we start singing that song, you know. Everybody's against me. Guess I'll eat some worms, you know, however that song went. This is why I'm not in music. I can't remember the words to anything. The only song I remember, Jesus loves me, this I know, because the Bible tells me so. I know the words to that one. I don't know how you do it, Jason. You get up here and, oh, you cheat. Okay, that's, no, my memory. Anyway, praise God. I burned that out 5 years ago, too. Okay. Come on now. Whenever the devil says you're all alone and everyone's against you, doesn't matter what he lies about, you need to remind him, even if it were true, God is with me. And if God's with me, who can be against me? Does that sound like the scripture to you? Hallelujah. Have you ever felt like you're just being attacked all over the place? You know, one of the things that happens to sheep is the flies. The flies will start, and that's going to be gross, hang on. The flies will actually get in their nostrils, lay eggs. And the larva will, and it gets back up into their brain. It will literally drive them mad. Just stupid flies. Amen. How many know it's the little things that keep piling up and reproducing that just drive us mad sometimes? I'm just so aggravated. How many times have you said, huh? Here it goes again. You know, all the pet little sayings we say about it's just never over, and it's just one thing after the other. Huh? We've said that many times. But that's why he anoints their head with oil. The oil will keep the flies out. Let me tell you, the anointing will protect you. It'll keep the flies out of you. Ah, glory to God. I'm preaching this because all the time I was preaching, y'all were rubbing your noses. And woo! Aren't you glad you got a crazy pastor?
Oh, praise God.
You need the oil. Sometimes the enemy will convince you, I just feel disconnected. Nobody loves me, right? Again. I feel disconnected from my family, from the church, from this, from that, from my job. I feel like the Lone Ranger. Well, even the Lone Ranger at Tonto. Come on. Listen, the enemy, I want to teach you something. The enemy has two strategies. One, I'll just call attractions, and the other one is distractions. If he can't get you attracted to something, most of us have been saved long enough to know, I'm not doing that. That's sinful, that's wrong, that's going to drag me in. I'm not watching that, I'm not participating in that, not hanging around that. Come on. But if he can't get you through attractions, he'll try to get you through distractions. Distractions. Anybody got what I'm saying? Some of us like that old joke about the squirrel. A squirrel. It's like, oh, you don't know the joke. Anyway, for some of us, it doesn't take much to draw our attention away. We're sitting at the table and we keep looking at the battle. I got a cure for you. Keep your eyes on the host with the most. Woo! Keep your eye on Jesus. As long as you're looking at the problem, you're going to have a problem. But keep your eye on Jesus. You might be surprised how the battle just fades away into the darkness. Woo, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on, come on. Come on, come on, come on. Listen, James says, don't let anyone say, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away, by his own desires, attraction, and enticed, distraction. But when desire has conceived, see, it's one thing to look. It's something else to conceive. It gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. My God, help us. Help us, Jesus. I just want to tell you today, you're not alone. You may feel like you're in the quicksand, but there is an arm that's pulling you out of the miry clay, pulling you out, and that arm is the arm of the Lord. Listen, he'll go out of his way to get you out. I'm reminded of the woman at the well. And, you know, if I were to tell you exactly how they treated women back then, you'd probably be upset. Ladies, you've come a long ways, believe me, from the way you were treated. But he was supposed to go from, I forget, somewhere to Galilee, Judea, from Judea to Galilee. It's a straight line. Look at a map. This is the way you should go, Jesus. But instead, he goes around. Because the Bible says, I must go through Samaria. I'm sure the disciples are like, here we go again. And Jesus, always taking the long way. I mean, they didn't hop in a caravan, right? They had to walk. Why are we walking the long way? Well, Jesus knew there was a woman at the well. Actually, she wasn't even at the well yet, but there would be a woman coming to the well. And that woman was going to get saved. And that woman, even though women aren't allowed to preach, went back to Samaria and she preached. And a whole city got saved. See, Jesus will move in the littlest of things. And you may feel like it's out of your way, and you may feel like you're in a desert place, and you may feel out of place, but he'll find you. He'll go through Samaria. He'll go out of his way just to get to you. Can I get an amen? Let me close with this. This week we spent a couple days at a conference. And one of the speakers is the pastor of the Church of God in Charlotte, North Carolina. I can't think of it right now. But anyway, he's been there. He's been at his church longer than I've been here. And he started before I did, but he's about my age, I guess. I don't know. He wouldn't admit his age. But he pastors thousands. And he said he gave a word out at a... They were just sitting around a table just talking, and he gave us a word, and everyone in the room felt like it was a prophetic word to every pastor in that room. And I believe it's a prophetic word to you, too, and you need to get a hold of this. He said, we've all preached about them marching around Jericho. And on the seventh day, we all preach how they blew the trumpets and the walls come down. But not many people have preached about the other 6 days. Now, I've mentioned it before, obviously, but he really brought it home. He said, the thing about ministry, he's talking to pastors, but I think it applies to all of us. He said, the thing about ministry is Monday through Saturday, it's pretty mundane. If we're not careful, we'll just go through the motions. You know, this is a high day. You know, I'm preaching the word. I'm pumped up. I'm ready to go. But then Monday comes. And I'll sleep in. Take it easy. Monday's just kind of a tired old day. And you just kind of go through your week, do what you always do. You see, 90% of life is just doing the same thing every day. Sometimes we go through trials that seem like they never end. We go through situations that never cease. Think about it. Listen, Jericho, you need to understand Jericho is a major city. In fact, today, look it up on Wikipedia, they say that Jericho is the longest, the oldest, continually habitated city in history. There's always been somebody living there. It's had its ups and downs, obviously, like when the walls came down. But someone's always lived there. I guess they say it was 10,000 years, but that's not possible. But I believe it goes all the way back to Noah's flood. There never was a caveman. Some people did live in caves. Because that's, you know, they were just in a situation where that was the best thing they had. But people were always smart. There always was an intelligent Adam and Eve, and they knew how to do things. Right after the flood, Jericho was probably one of the first cities. And we know Babylon and all these, but Jericho was built. Now they're going across the Jordan, and there's Jericho. They said the walls were so thick, a chariot could run on the walls all the way around, several feet thick. There's no way the walls are going to come down. By the way, archaeologists think they've found Jericho, and it's kind of weird because when you attack a city, you push the walls. And they said, it's kind of weird. The walls looks like they fell out. Well, duh, read your Bible. But can you imagine what it was like marching around? And as big as a couple thousand people lived there, as big as it was, I don't know, it took 4 miles an hour, 3 miles an hour, a couple hours to go all the way around the city. And Moses and God told him, don't say a thing. Can you imagine them just marching? And the whole time they're marching, people on the walls are jeering them. Losers! Stupid idiots. And they're probably shooting arrows at them. But they said, don't do anything. Isn't it hard when God says, stand still? Just be quiet. And they'd march all the way around that city. Can you imagine what's going on in their head, in their heads? This is stupid. How many know there's always one to two in your family? But not present. Not present. Okay. Lord. Yeah, some of us might have two or three. But I'm sure there was one who kind of tapped the guy on the shoulder ahead of him and said, do you think this is crazy? Why don't we just attack the place? If you know anything about military tactics, strategies, and so forth, if you're going to attack a fortified position, you need to have 10 times the number of troops. They were already outnumbered. They didn't have 10-to-1 advantage. If there's 500 soldiers on the wall, you need 5,000 to take the city. 10-to-1. 10-to-1. Kind of the number. But here they are, just walking. They can't even shout back. Sometimes the Lord will just tell you, just ignore them. Just keep walking. Come on, church. Listen, most of life is pretty normal and mundane and boring. Especially if you're young, everything's boring. When you get older, everything's aggravating. Oh, I struck a nerve there. But when you're young, you're just boring. Day two, here we go again. And it's boring, but you're also being attacked. You're being cussed at. Spit at, if they could spit that far. Arrows shooting at you. You never know where it's going to come from. But here you go. Wow, yeah, second day. By the third day, that guy's got an opinion. Amen. Are you kidding me? Again? Let's just get it over with. Let's just attack it and die. I'd rather die to walk around this stupid city again. But here we go. You're supposed to keep your mouth shut. And just do the things you know to do. I remember once early in my ministry, real early. And I can't remember what it was I was praying about, but I needed a miracle. And every day I prayed for that miracle. You know, how many know, after a while, it just gets mundane and boring. It's like, all right, Lord, you remember, repeat from last week. Remember that thing I prayed about yesterday? And we just pray every day, every day, and every day. 1 day, 2 days, 3 days, 4 days, 5 days, 6 days. And it just feels like life is just boring. Life's just, am I preaching to anybody? And there's nothing great going on in my life, and I hear testimonies about all this, but I don't know. I'm just doing my thing every day, same old, same old. But then the seventh day. Wait a minute. Now I want you to march six times around the city. Now it's going to take all day. Sometimes the Lord will take what you think is boring and multiply it times six. Now they're marching around the city, and they say, oh, hey, look, the idiots are going around for a second time, third time, fourth time. Here they go, round and round and round. But he says, when you get past six, I want you to march one more time. And this time I want you to shout. Church, hang in there. Because there's always a seventh day. There's always those moments of great glory and power. Amen. Sometimes I know some people come to church and say, well, that church is boring, or that service didn't do nothing for me. You know, it's not all about you every Sunday. But we go through those seasons where it seems like nothing's happening. But every once in a while, God just says, hey, shout. Blow the trumpets. Break out the shofars. And let's blow those things. Yeah, yeah, what's that going to do? I'll tell you, we sang about it today. There's something about a shout. There's something about a praise. There's something about worship. There's something about raising your voice. There's something about the name of Jesus. Jason, I love that song. Every time we say Jesus, something comes out of the grave. Woo! And on the seventh day, on the seventh trip, the walls came tumbling down. And they just walked into the city and they took it in the name of Jesus. Woo! Somebody praise the Lord. Stand to your feet. Praise the Lord. Amen. Wow. Isn't God good?